This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome one and all to the cesspool where all the worst things that humanity has done come to hang out and be counted as we feebly attempt to try to turn them into the pitches for good stories. And every now and then succeed, but often are also defeated in the process.
I don't know about defeated. If you're starting with a bad idea, there's only one way to go, and it's up. Which is the intention of this show.
And there's always the friends we make along the way.
Exactly. Oh,
That's true.
Exactly. Guys, I have the first bad idea. Are you ready for it?
All right, let's do it.
What you got for us this week?
Oh boy, it's so silly. Dear listeners, there's going to be a link to this article in the episode description. The article is not important. What you should do is watch the video, which is amazing. And hat tip to friend of the show, Ariella Axelbank, for putting this on my radar. So this comes from the BBC, although it comes from everywhere because it's about a viral video. And I'm going to read the article because it's short. Don't even need the headline. So guys, a Texas lawyer named Rod Ponton was left flummoxed when he discovered his face was appearing as a cat during a court session on Zoom.
What?
Yep.
As his assistant tried to rectify the issue, he can be heard saying, "I'm here live. I'm not a cat." And then the judge saying, flummoxed, I can see that. Tweeting about the incident, Judge Roy Ferguson, who presided over the session, said it showed the legal community's efforts to continue representing their clients in these challenging times. That's it. That's the idea. A lawyer who is forced to look like a cat as he argues his case. This is what I have brought for you. I'm going to put 10 minutes on a timer. Turn it into something, but a cat, maybe something else. I don't know. You guys do, y'all.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, this is one of these cases where, like, I think that before I see kind of where to take this, I think what comes to mind is kind of what not to do. And I think that the wrong path is a lawyer finds himself, like, actually transformed into a literal cat.
Yeah.
And has to kind of fake his way through a day without anyone realizing that he's a cat. I think that is not the right way to approach that, because I think that, like, there have been a lot of movies made that way, including most recently, I think one with Kevin Spacey, where he was like a high powered business executive and he was turned into a cat. And it's always one of these things where, like, I think it sounds good as a pitch, but then, like, it never works in, like, the actual films.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that's the way to do it.
And it works less and less the better CGI gets, weirdly.
Huh.
Interesting.
I don't think you're wrong. Yeah. But okay, so if that's not what we're doing, I'm trying to think about kind of, like, what is the way to storify this?
I mean, does BoJack Horseman need a spinoff? Because...
Right. There's a world where we just are in a universe of animals and people together, and we just, like, make a story that we want about a lawyer who happens to be a cat.
But there's also, I think, maybe something with these incredibly high-powered, high-paid individuals who make technological faux pas that then someone has to fix, or maybe chooses not to fix in a Count of Monte Cristo type revenge scheme.
Well, this is making me think, like, what is the highest stakes situation where this could happen? And I'm just imagining, like, some kind of, like, G20 summit or, like, a presidential address.
and just thinking about like what kind of diabolical hacker like uses their knowledge to not like bring down dams and level cities and, you know, turn off power supplies or, you know, do
or
anything.
Just sell secrets to the Saudis.
Right. Right. Like any of the billions of things that we can be so terrified about, but instead makes people like either into animals or like puts like zits on their face that aren't there. Like weird, like kind of off-puttingly superficial glitches. Like every time you open your mouth, like with those, what are those Snapchat filters? Like rainbows come out of your mouth, like rainbow vomit.
I like that. That's like, I swear this tangent connects very quickly. But yeah. Did you guys watch Grand Piano, that Elijah Wood movie?
Yeah, I've seen that. It's wild.
Basic premise. Really good movie. I really quite like this movie. It's very underrated. Elijah Wood is a pianist. He's doing his first live concert in a long time. After he had like some panic attack or something like that during his last performance.
Yeah.
And then during the performance itself, the first one that he's given in a long time in front of like an audience full of 5,000 people or however many, he finds a sniper communicating with him and sort of telling him, if you mess up a single note of this performance, I'm going to shoot and kill you. And it's now kind of, you know, like this guy having to perform on two different levels and kind of, you know, like Christ. Both for the sniper and for the people. And so I can imagine some setup like this where it's, you know, like you have like your up and coming presidential candidate or someone that is giving a very important speech. And then, you know, like someone hacks into his earpiece and, you know, it goes, listen to me, you know, Mr. Whoever, I want you to say this. And if you don't say it, I'm going to like hack into the system and turn you into an embarrassing thing or something like this. And it will be like, you know, the hallmark of your presidency. This is the first time that you're addressing the nation. You will forever be the cat president or the iguana president or the serpent president.
Right.
And so then it's kind of a like, okay, so what's worse? What this person that has me public relations kidnapped wants? Or the public relations nightmare of being the iguana president.
That is indeed a conundrum and super Black Mirror-y. I like it.
It is very Black Mirror. It's true.
It is. And I feel like it would need to be.
It isn't a bad thing all the time. We like
it. It isn't a bad thing. I do think it would need more teeth in the sense of like I don't think being an iguana would necessarily like I don't think they would bite. You know, so somebody's like, powerful enough. To make it to the presidency, I think they're like, no, we can clean up the iguana.
No, it has to be something that, like, the president is an office that persists regardless of how one feels about its occupant. And I'm just going to say that. But, like, a business owner, like, if, you know, you're mm-hmm. You know, making a Steve Jobs-esque product launch that's going to make or break you and, like... If you become like the iguana presenter and no one buys your stuff, then like it really could be ruinous.
That's good. That's good.
It could also be like an actor that is, you know, making a comeback after having been away after a while because he got caught doing something terrible. Mm. And whatever he's being made to look like is in some way related to that terrible thing that he did that he's trying to put behind him.
What I like about the technology one, mm-hmm. not that that's definitely not a bad idea. What I like about the technology one is you can make it like a foil for sort of a combination Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg that's like unleashed mm-hmm. this zombification thing onto the population and everybody's putting filters on and nobody's real anymore. But like, we believe in security, we believe in privacy, and I'm going to give the update on this new security your security's broken.
Uh-huh.
We're going mm-hmm. to show you for what you really are, unless you say, sure. you know, and so that's sort of the hook. And it's like, you kind of want him to lose at some level. And so I don't know if that works, if you can carry a movie where you want them to lose.
No, I mean, like, and like, I think that there's,
then it becomes
you can feel
like,
that conflict. You can feel the conflict within the audience.
Promises. What's the eco-terrorist one with, the guy who plays Mark Zuckerberg.
I don't know this film.
Oh, God. This is going to bother me.
Eisenberg?
Eisenberg, yeah. I'm pretty sure. And it's like,
I don't know.
Not Kelly Reichardt or someone similar. Anyway, this you have 2 minutes, so don't mind me. But you have 2 minutes Great. And 28 well, seconds.
I think that we can combine this, actually, Zach. It can be the tech genius, and like Steve Jobs, he can have run into problems. There was a scandal of some sort. He was outed out of the company.
Yeah.
And now he's back. And, like, you know, like, this is his big comeback, you know? Like, he was once part of Schmapple. And now, you know, he is back with his new company, Falphabet, and he's ready to take over the world. And the world is ready to forget about that thing that he did yeah. with the otters, except not so secure now. If you don't do, like, you know, what we're telling you, all those checks that you made out to the otter sanctuary are going to seem so, you know, insincere, because it's going to look like you are making fun of whatever. I think there's kind of like a way to take like the greatest hits of both of them.
And what I love about this is that you can like the bones of it are so good that you could have Armando Iannucci direct it and make it absolutely absurd and sort of like a comedy. Or you could have a more serious director put in charge of it and have it be sort of this thriller type. And also right. sort of serious meditation on the nature of forgiveness from the court of public opinion. Like,
right.
you can really swing in either direction with it.
It's a harrowing Fincher movie.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. No, Fincher would be perfect for this. Well, you have 50 seconds. What's it called?
Cat's Got Your Face.
That's not the worst. No,
it would have to be about cats and not otters. But
no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah,
the internet loves cats. So,
quick parenthesis. I think that an important aspect is that we never find out what it is that he did in the past. Like, it's always just like, oh, right. people are ready to forget about the cat thing. Or like, you know, like, wasn't he that guy with the cats?
And the room gets really awkward whenever it gets like close to that. Like, no, exactly. it's so good to see you on top again, sir.
He doesn't allow people to talk about it. We don't talk about the cat thing.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. But so it's always just referred to as the cat thing. We don't know what it was.
Right. Like an outside reporter's like, it's so nice to see you on top again, sir. And everybody in the room is just like really uncomfortable
because
you're not supposed to even mention that he was ever not.
We can have that reporter actually played by Kara Swisher. Then that's time.
Oh, dear.
Amazing. I'm so glad we got here from a stupid viral video about lawyers not understanding how to turn filters on and off. This was great.
That's so absurd.
My question is, who turned that filter on in the first place?
Unclear. Very unclear.
Right. Like, what is this guy doing on the weekends? Like,
I think maybe what are his kids doing?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume.
That would be my guess, but right. also, no judgment.
Hello there, dear listener. It is me, Zach Valenti, with this brief message. You've probably heard of Unseen at this point, the new audio fiction series from Gabrielle Sarah and myself. But have you heard that we are doing our first ever share-a-thon? What's a share-a-thon? I'm so glad you asked. Last year, when we decided to actually make Unseen in the midst of all of the chaos and bullshit that was 2020, we wanted to make something to share a little magic with a world we felt could really use some. Now, we want to turn to the people who made Unseen possible from the very start, our listeners, that's you, to help us share the magic even further. Right now, you can actually get a unique sharing link that makes it super easy to spread the word about Unseen with friends and family, even linking to your very favorite episode. Now, the three of us here at Long Story Short Productions headquarters will be keeping our eyes on all the sharing and will actually be rewarding the top three refers with some exclusive Unseen merch. To learn more and grab your own sharing link today, check out share.unseen.show. One more time, that's share.unseen.show. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to No Bad Ideas. We went into the depths of the internet in our first idea of technology gone wrong.
Really, it's the surface of the internet. I feel
Sarah,
like...
you're ruining this thing that I'm going for, because now we're going to go into a different kind of
Forgive
into
me.
The depths. We're going into Forgive other Forgive depths. Are you guys ready for your second bad idea of the day?
Ready as I'll ever be.
So ready.
Alrighty. From UPI, and there will be a link in the episode description to this article if you would like to read along, gentle listeners. The headline reads, India couple get married while scuba diving 60 feet underwater.
Holy
shit. I saw that this happened. The most unnecessary thing.
It's so extra.
I mean, at least it's like COVID friendly.
So spoilers. There's a lot of things about this idea that make it a bad idea. And there's also a lot of other things about it that make me think that it's not a bad idea at all. And I'm mostly bringing it here because I think that this deserves to be its movie and would be really cool as a movie.
Cool.
So the article reads, an India couple practice some extreme social distancing for their wedding when they held the ceremony 60 feet underwater. Chennai couple V. Chinaduri and S. Swetha were married Monday morning off the coast of Nilankarai after their support team verified the waters were calm enough for a dive. I like that they do it safely and responsibly. Good, 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 good.
Yeah. No, this is what bridesmaids are for, right?
Quote, it was traditional. Only it was underwater. Possibly my favorite sentence that I've read this
Amazing.
Year.
Amazing.
We dived in at an auspicious time in the morning and exchanged garlands and tied the thali before 7:30 a.m. as per instructions from our priest. Groom Chinadurai, a licensed scuba diver who has been diving for years, told the Times of India. Swetha said she only started taking scuba lessons about a month before the wedding.
Wait.
I was nervous, and so were my parents, but we had 8 divers with us. It was exciting, too, because we've been trying to tie the knot since last week, she said. It was all in the hands of the sea. So there you go. One very, very experienced diver. One person that had a few weeks experience.
Jesus.
I have so many questions.
And very traditional, just all underwater.
All underwater.
10 minutes on the clock. The timer starts now.
I don't care about the 10 minutes. I just, like, who... I have questions first before we get to the timer.
Tell us your questions. Come on.
Like, it's one thing if these two people met while scuba diving. Like, that's very sweet. And it's were they trying to get around COVID restrictions? Like, why? Were her parents also diving? I have so many questions.
I think the parents were also diving.
This asshole.
Like, that aspect of it kind of feels like, like here in the States, those people, and I don't know if anyone ever has this, but this is this image that exists in pop culture of like the people that get married by like an Elvis impersonator. And mm-hmm. one of them is like thrilled because they love Elvis and like, oh man, it's so cool to be married by an Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas. And the other person is so clearly not one bit into getting married by an Elvis impersonator. Like, you kind of feel that one person in this pair wanted the underwater aspect more than the other one.
Yeah, you do. And I don't think we should have like another underwater wedding. I don't think we can improve upon the perfection that is this article.
No,
with minimal context.
I just want that video so badly, because I imagine there's some live music performance involved in a traditional wedding.
Well, I think that they got Kiss to play the wedding, right? That's a throwback to an older episode of No Bad Ideas, dear listeners.
Holy
shit. The problem
shit.
Is that Kiss couldn't do it because they'd bring the sharks.
I know. Okay, thus ends the callback to an older episode of No Bad Ideas, dear listeners.
But I think the direction that we should probably go is other traditional activities just underwater.
Oh, is it just underwater? So we're not going to do the Steve Bezos space bar mitzvah?
I mean, I am down.
Son, today you become a man in space. But Dad, I really like Earth and there's no oxygen. No, son. You have to really prove.
Well, it's that's interesting because like there's something dramatic to, I don't know if you had this growing up, Zach, but like my parents were incredibly supportive of me. There was just a thing that I knew I had no say in, which was having a bat mitzvah. And I knew I had very little say in like how it went down as well as that it was happening. So we could do something either wedding related or like a quinceañera or something that's a life moment that takes place in an extreme environment. That would be fun.
And specifically that one person is adamant about and another person is incredibly skeptical of.
I think
pressure that comes from the family. I think that that's a rich dynamic to play off of because now it's not just like, oh, Bob needs to get over himself. It's like,
right.
Oh,
no. Like, my big fat Mars wedding.
Yeah. There we go.
Sold. Pitch bot in the room. Say no more.
Yeah. No, and this is like, and now this is just the plot of my big fat Greek wedding, but it's someone who like grew up on Mars and doesn't really have an attachment to it, like went back to Earth and like met someone nice and they have like a nice life in like a mid-sized city or something. But when it comes time to get married, they know it's got to be a big Mars production thing.
And it's nice in a certain way because, you know, mm-hmm. it's one of these things where like at first you maybe suspect that, oh, is the thing that like the parents are not going to want him to marry someone from Earth? Are they going to mm-hmm. be all like, you know, like we're a proud Martian family? And they're like, no, they're so welcoming. They love the person that their child is marrying.
They love Aiden.
They think that Amy's the best. But Amy has to be the best in a zero gravity environment on the red dust of, you know, Mount Olympus or whatever that like the Olympus Mons, I think it's called properly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it sort of becomes much more about like, no, you need to do a thing rather than you have to be a thing.
Right. Now, does sort of our entry point into this family be the like Martian child? Who is aware of all of these traditions and has complicated feelings about them? Or is it Amy who is sort of having to like learn how to walk with the lead gravity boots for the first time?
I think it probably has to be Amy. Probably.
I would think so.
I mean, Big Fat Greek Wedding does it the other way, but then we're really just rewriting Big Fat Greek Wedding in space. So let's not do that. Let's have it be Amy.
Well, and I think that it's a little bit of kind of how extreme are the Martian things that Amy has to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if they're fairly recognizable, it could go in the direction of like, no, the main character is the child of the Martian family. But if it's something where like we need the education as much as Amy does and we really need to kind of have our hands held, then I think it needs to be much more like Crazy Rich Asians. Where mm-hmm. it's a like,
that's a good analogy. Know, good pull.
Like, oh, by the way, my family is super into like Mars, you know, traditions. And it's like, cool. What are Mars traditions? Cut to why is this a Mars tradition?
Right.
But it's fine because they go to like the Mars open market, which is obviously closed in an air bubble so that everyone can breathe.
Sure.
And have a lot of amazing street food. And it's great.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Crazy Rich Asians, it's a good movie.
This is one of these episodes where it's like, well, we hope that you have watched all the same things that
we have watched.
Yeah.
I was gonna make a lamb is totally vegetarian joke, but I feel like the other thing is like, you eat meat, it's made of algae. Perfect. Mm. It's like, is meat algae
now,
on Mars?
I think the only question we have left to answer here.
Yes, only one question.
Only one.
The other ones are all taken care of. Every other detail is
hammered
down.
We all know how Martian culture works, right, guys? I mean,
yeah, totally.
But the question that comes to mind is sort of the conflict, the stress that it puts on, also like Crazy Rich Asians, this couple and their relationship. Or is there a way that if they don't get this right, something external bad could happen?
That's a very good question. And I think one dimension of it is it a wedding or is it something else?
Sure.
Because if it's a wedding, you have so many more people. You know, you have like the two families, you have all the friends, you have this, you have the other. There's maybe even like legal paperwork where, you know, like if she really is going to, if Amy is going to really inherit the fortune of these people, then she needs to be like legally married. And if it doesn't go right, you know, she could stand to lose a lot of money, which might go to the black sheep of the family that will spend it all on Martian drugs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's something that is more of a, say, I don't know, kind of like a different tradition that has like less of a legal ripple, then I think it really has to be more about are they going to stay together or are they not?
You know what we could bring in here just to complete the rom-com stealing that we've been doing?
Oh, please.
Princess Diaries. He's the Prince of Mars.
Tell me more.
And so it is not just Martian traditions, because Elon Musk is going to Mars to be the king of it. We are all aware of this, yes? it's like Martian royal traditions. And if they don't get it right, then like the Prince of Mars is going to have to marry someone awful who isn't Amy.
Sure.
And like then you have like court factions that are vying for like favor and to sabotage things or to help or, you know, ulterior motives. And you have slippery counselors and all that good stuff. But what's nice about the Princess Diaries is it's like about sort of which family is most important to you. What do you choose? And like, I think that's a good conflict for these two people to sort of sort out, like, okay, is it meaningful that they are royalty? Do they feel that duty? Like, what is their responsibility to each other? Like all that stuff, mm-hmm. but with lots of jokes, obviously.
Obviously.
Great. Consider that sorted. What are we calling it in the 13 seconds that are still on the clock?
The Red Wedding. No.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's Sarah. get spray bottle.
It's a red planet. You see why it's funny?
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, the timer has gone off, but if you have a thought, Zach.
I'm grasping at punny straws.
Yeah, what are other nicknames for Mars? Sorry, we're just going to ignore the timer.
Yeah, just hang out here for a second. Just, okay. Just. The Cavs meter is running. You know, we'll just put this on your tab.
I'm good for it. Wedding to the stars. Wedding. When weddings attack.
Wedding attack. Or the Wedding Chronicles.
The Wedding Chronicles. There we go. I love it.
Well, I am shocked, but also delighted at how far away from scuba diving this got.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, we just pulled a hard left turn to outer space. Probably surprising none of you, dear listeners.
And as the idea bringer, I do want to send our congratulations to this happy couple. And as much as this is a strange thing that they did, from everything that we can tell, it seems that they did it both carefully and safely. So that gets our applause here at No Bad Ideas. It is all too rare for us to get articles about people doing things that way on this show. So we applaud you for doing things the right way.
And if you want to monetize your wedding, do put up your wedding video for pay-per-view.
Yes, actually do that. Just put it on YouTube and turn on the ads. People will watch it.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.